consulted in the past. And I say in the past because all my gigs so far this year I've canceled.
Oh,
but that's good. You know, we don't want to be out there sharing germs
right.
until we know it's safe. One of the things I think that a lot of us have voices in our heads that have been there since childhood that say things like grow up, get serious, act your age, and that's not funny. And we need to learn that humor is not only a very effective tool for socially bonding and a very effective tool for improving our mental and physical health. It's also a very effective tool for communication and for creativity and productivity on the job. And so we've got to get over this idea that somebody who is lighthearted and able to find humor in things is less productive or is not treating things seriously enough. Because when we say that about someone else, that means we've put ourselves in a really tight box, which makes it a lot less likely for us to laugh. The reason I pick on that one in particular is because after a presentation, when people come up and hug me, yes, I've had way too many hugs, so I'm kind of glad to be socially isolated right now, because I did a gig 15 days ago in which I tried to make this person not hug me, but...
Oh, no. Got to wear some shirts. Don't hug me, please.
But I hear people say afterwards, I'm so glad you said that particular thing because I always feel like I want to find things funny, but I feel like people will look down on me and that what I'm doing is not taking things seriously enough at the office, and so I'm going to give this a try and see how it works. Because humor is a communication tool. If you listen to people, you know, anywhere that you're around people in a regular time when you can eavesdrop. I miss eavesdropping so much. But if you listen to them, they laugh a lot. And not necessarily either one of them joking. It's just that laughter is a great tool for communicating with other people. That's how we build a relationship with one another. And so to cut that off and saying it's not professional or times are too serious, we shouldn't be laughing now. Usually when somebody says that, that's the time we need laughter the most.
Thank you to my guest, Leanne Joshua. You can learn more about her and her work at accidentalcomic.com. This is Clara Shotto with News in Depth.
Portland People's Outreach Project, or PPOP, are a peer-run organization that provides a needle exchange and other mobile services for Portland's houseless community. They are volunteers on the front lines of not just the struggle against our inequitable economic system, but also the COVID-19 pandemic. While the coronavirus itself may be an equal opportunity threat, the negative social, economic, personal, and physical and mental effects of the pandemic are not hitting everybody equally. KBOO's Sam Bowman spoke with two PPOP volunteers about what this means for the people they work with.
I'm speaking with John and Fern with Portland People's Outreach Project. How are you folks doing today?
Hanging in.
Yeah, glad to be talking to you.
Yeah,
glad to be living in.
Likewise. So, could you tell me first a little bit about Portland People's Outreach? Is PPOP the correct pronunciation of the acronym?
So PPOP, Portland People's Outreach Project, it is a peer-run needle exchange and like harm reduction organization. We do outreach on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday when other area exchanges aren't open. We are need-based, so we give everyone $100 without them having to turn anything in on Saturdays at our fixed site, and on Friday and Sunday when we're doing mobile outreach, we about $50, just because it's harder to move them around. But we see a lot of people that otherwise would not access services through the county exchange.
All right. And about how long has PPOP been around?
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah, we just had a 5-year anniversary party.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. You've been active as this crisis has set in. What has the month of March been like for the work that you do? How have things changed?
I know for sure that our participants are experiencing a lot more anxiety and dread, much like the rest of folks that generally are living outside or inside and living comfortably. Like, folks who are outside have a lot of reservations around accessing social services, which is why it makes a lot of sense for us to go to them where they're at, because a lot of people who are IV drug users are treated like in a lot of different ways within like the local Portland social service medical industrial complex stuff. Folks are really anxious. I know that there's like a lot of mental health stuff happening right now. But there has been like a couple different orgs have reached out to us, offering support, like the PSU, I think it's the Coalition on Homelessness, I think they're called, just stopped by today and dropped us off a bunch of snacks and water and stuff, and that was sick. Nice. Basically, yeah, I'm seeing this moment as like a unique situation where we have the ability to organize for better conditions for all people, particularly folks who are marginalized. So I'm witnessing on the one hand like a lot of like trauma and scarcity come up, but on the other hand, like a lot of folks are actually organizing to like help support people with less privilege than they have.
I was curious, are you getting like any increase in support or decrease, I guess, from the neighborhoods that you work in?
It's a complicated question. The St. John's neighborhood has been a little bit antagonistic towards our organization in general for a while. They're curiously quiet right now. But
almost like there's something else going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of just this thing where people kind of realize that, like, where do you want people to go? If they don't have housing, then we can't stop the spread of this communicable disease.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if they're not offering any alternatives, then, like, shut up so that we could do our job, I guess.
Fair enough. So, in times like these, and I know from my own experience, like, you're all volunteer workers, and you have other commitments in your lives, and in this huge upheaval, burnout is a very real thing. And how are you and other workers handling that?
I'm really, really lucky that my day job is allowing me to work from home right now. And what that looks like is that they understand that my productivity is going to be really low, because most of the people that I work with are unhoused and don't have phones, so I can't really be... there's just, like, a lot less work for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But that offer, that, like, kind of grants me this, like, awesome amount of free time for me to be able to, like, make go bags or, like, safer sex supply bags during the time that I would be working. So that has been cool. I think for me, like, burnout happens when I'm not focusing on, like, trying to create a better society and, like, address systemic issues that the state isn't obviously prioritizing right now. So I would be more burned out if I wasn't able to, like, put my energy towards something.
All right.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I just get high and keep pushing through, you know? And like that, you know, I'm somebody that sort of got involved with PPOP from accessing the services there. So like, that's a very real answer. And like, I don't have the opportunity right now to like stop and decompress. And because like my community safety is at stake, how I see it, you know? And like, I know that the, that can you know, lead to some trouble down the road maybe, but like right now, like, I mean, it's, you know, what I would feel worse sitting and trying to decompress at home versus going out on outreach.
Particularly because we're serving folks that, like, don't have access in the neighborhoods that they're in to, like, syringe service programs, or really, like, any social service programs at all. So, like, yeah, these, I mean, these are our friends. We love them. Like, they are us. So I, like, want to make sure that we're caring for them and prioritizing their needs at a time where, like, pretty much no one else is.
Great. And, I mean, I know that the a number of services, as you mentioned, are, you know, either not operating right now or operating remotely. The vast majority of the shelter system is not doing intakes right now. I feel like we all know the answer to this, but how is that affecting the people that you're working with? You mentioned a lot of anxiety.
The folks that want to go to a shelter can't go because they're trying to spread people out. It makes sense that they're spreading people out, obviously. But at the same time, like, there's thousands of open condos in Portland. Like, we need to put people that are at risk into stable housing so that they could be safe. And in turn, if you got to make it self-serving, like, it's so we can also be safe.
What sort of help can your group use? What sort of supplies are you able to take? And
So we definitely need alcohol swabs because there's, like, disruption in the supply chain around those, as I'm sure everybody already knows. We usually, like, we'd really like some, like, extra tarps and tents for people to have in case they do get sick and need to self-quarantine. It's, like, it's impossible to self-quarantine if you don't have your own tent.
For sure.
Honestly, if people can make monetary donations, so we need safer smoking supplies, so people aren't, you know, sharing meth pipes. So, you know, usually people don't have meth pipes just laying around to donate. We would take cases of meth pipes, but we also could just use monetary donations so every individual have their own pipe and not have to share. You know, usually people just think of the needle exchange as the needle part. I mean, this virus is, like, perfectly shown how important it is to have your own, like, pipes as well.
And the our Venmo, if anybody wants to donate money to us, is PPOP_rocks.
PPOP_rocks on Venmo?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. So you mentioned the core of your work, the needle exchange part. Has there been any disruption in that supply chain?
As of right now, with needles, no. But with the, like, alcohol pads,
antibiotic wipe, benzalkonium wipe.
Yeah, stuff to keep clean. That's the stuff that, you know, there's been a disruption because all of that's getting moved to hospitals, and we can't get any more of that. But as of right now, not with syringes themselves. Although, you know, everything comes from, all the glass we order comes from China. So I don't know when, like, our safer smoking supplies might be disrupted.
Gotcha. Is there anything else that you would like people listening to this to know, or things that you feel like people aren't seeing?
I mean, obviously this situation just, like, shows us the flaws that are inherent in a capitalist society where folks who are already, like, not being taken care of are being left with little to no resources to provide for their own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
I think that now is the time for us to try to organize for not only a rent freeze and a sweep freeze, but like basic universal income, healthcare. I mean, like the sky's the limit. Like now's the time.
Like, anybody that's struggling with the social isolation, that you know, we've just, it's just been, you know, a week of the stay-at-home order. I just encourage them to like think about how like some of our neighbors, that's their entire life. You know, people who use drugs and live outside get ignored by society 99% of the time. The other 1% is people that are yelling at them and mad, you know. And that ratio is probably off. There's probably more people than yelling at them. But, you know, to just use this as an opportunity to reflect on just being nicer to our people that are around us, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate the two of you taking the time to talk with me today and to talk to our listeners about this. And before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add?
City in the hand market.
Oh, okay, yeah. So the city has also been criminally negligent in providing hand washing stations to people who live outside. I guess they're on back order right now, which is freaking wild considering they've known for at least the last 10 years that we've been overdue for like a major catastrophic earthquake. So like, where are the hand washing stations? Consider yourself super privileged if you can wash your hands every day, because like not everybody can do that.
Yeah, and every day, every 10 minutes, let alone every day.
Yeah,
all it takes is a global health pandemic.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've been speaking with John and Fern with the Portland People's Outreach Project.